The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Hallelujah. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and go with me to the book of Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And those of you that are visiting our restroom facilities, please leave the toilet rolls alone. If you help yourself, you'll end up with hemorrhoids. They don't belong to you. Just use them, the paper you can. Amen. Matthew 24. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." Everybody say, "Not troubled." "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Everybody say, "The end is not yet." "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines." Everybody say, "Famines." "And pestilence. And earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Well, that is happening to the church in different parts of the earth, even as we speak. "Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." That's happening even in the church, where churches are reporting other churches that are having services today. So they're calling the authorities to say, "That guy's having a service." What's that? You're betraying. You know, we're not calling any church to say they close their doors. I mean, everybody's got to go by their own convictions. Are you with me? In your own conscience. Amen? Amen? "So many will be offended and will betray one another." You know, everybody talks about social distancing. I've been social distanced by the church for years. They keep me at arm's length. They've been treating me like I was contagious, you know. Yeah, you better stay away from that Rodney guy. You'll get the joy. And that'll really affect you. You'll never recover. Once you get the joy, you'll never recover. And you'll be ruined. You'll never be a normal person. And the problem is, when you get this joy, things will be really bad and you'll still be happy. And everybody will look at you like you're crazy, because don't you realize how bad they are? And then you'll just sit and laugh. So be careful about going down there to that river church. "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Which, you look at that in the modern church, that's been the story. "But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And this gospel," and I believe this is where we are right now, verse 14, "this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." So that's what we are in right now. And then the very next verse talks about the abomination and desolation spoken of Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place. So right after this will come the rise of the Antichrist, which you can see the problems will be so bad in the world that no world leaders will be able to solve it, no economic leaders will be able to solve it, but someone will stand up. And I was thinking about this, my wife and I even were talking in recent times, as everybody's talking about peace treaties here, peace over there, peace over there, when the Bible says when they cry peace and safety, then there'll come sudden destruction. Now, two things that happened to me. The one started back, I would say, last August, September, into November. I'd go to sleep at night and I began having this dream. And the dream was like nothing I'd ever been in before. It's very hard to even relate, so it's hard for me even to describe what I saw. It was like I was in this, it was like a computer simulation, like a wormhole or whatever. That's about all I can tell you. I just knew when I was there in the dream. How many of you ever had a dream and it was real vivid and you were in it, but you can't really describe it because like nothing you've ever seen before. And I knew that I was up against this entity. And for night after night, it was like I was wrestling with this thing, you know. And I'd wake up, you know, I had a peace on me, but I knew that I was in a battle. This was a battle, but I didn't see the victory. And then towards the end of last year, it was still the same, but then I started to see the victory. Amen. And right in the early part, I would say around about the second week of January this year, went to sleep Saturday night, and right in, man, it must have been around about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was back in that dream again. But this force hit me. It was a force like I'd never felt before. My whole body was pulsating. I'm lying in the bed. My whole body is pulsating. And one of the things that would happen back last year when I woke up, I kept hearing the word scythe, scythe. Now, there's two words. There's the word scythe, which if you look at it, is totally different to a sickle. The one is a sickle. Or scythe is a sickle, but the scythe looks like basically the picture of the grim reaper, like death. Are you with me? And then the sickle, which if you know, obviously we are harvesters, so we use the sickle to harvest. Yeah. But there's another harvester harvesting on the earth right now, and it's that socialist, communist spirit. And so for whatever reason, I'm only putting this together even now, that the scythe was this plague. Was this plague? Because it was a death plague. Are you with me? So my whole body, physically in the dream, I could feel it, you know, because I rebuked and whatever, but it didn't go anywhere, whatever. But on this morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I get out of bed and my whole body was pulsating. I could feel it on me. I thought, oh my God, it's not just in the dream, it's right here. And I went through to the restroom, and I went to the facilities, and I'm sitting there. My whole body is just pulsating with this force, which I never felt before. So I told my wife when I woke up, when I got to the service, I told Pastor Eric, Pastor Kenneth. Pastor Eric looks at me, you know, with his discerners on, as he always does, and he's going to pray for me, right? Kenneth, we're going to pray right now. We're going to rebuke this thing. So I stand like this. So they lay hands on me, pray over me, rebuke, whatever, you know. And I just had a peace, you know. So they finished praying, and Pastor Eric said he didn't feel anything. He said, I feel the anointing, but my whole body was still pulsing. I said, well, I feel it right now on me. He said, well, that's... So what I began to realize that the Lord was actually anointing me in a way that I'd never be anointed to deal with something I never dealt with before. And that's all I can tell you about that. So let me fast forward to this week. Tuesday night, we were over in Melbourne, Florida, preaching. I get back to the house, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and Tim Hall, the evangelist, was trying to get a hold of me. And, you know, I said, I'm about to preach, so I couldn't. So by the time I got into bed, it was just after 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was tired. My wife will tell you that there have been nights where she pulls the phone out of my hand and goes and plugs it in. Because I fall asleep with it in my hand. I mean, I think I fell asleep with a pastor online. I mean, this whole 2 week period of time, I'd be sitting up and dozing off. I fall asleep at the lunch table, just totally gone. Because, you know, you're running, there's people calling on you, what do we do? What do we do about this? What do we do about that? You know, and you're praying with people. And it never ends. It never ends. And so, I'm like really moments away from dozing off. But I thought I better call him just quickly and find out what's going on. So I called him. He answered the phone. I said, Tim, how's it going? He said, man, things have gone crazy. Yeah, stores are empty. You can't even buy toilet paper. I said, oh, the Australians are having that problem too. He said, yes. And he said to me, now listen, people, listen, you cannot make this up. You cannot make up what I'm about to tell you. He said to me, it's like the end time, it's like the end of days, which, you know, what I've been preaching on. And a fire come into the room, like a swirling, it looked like a tornado, and it come right in front of me, and it hit my belly. And I begin to weep and groan in the spirit. Now, for those watching, if you don't understand Pentecost, you think I'm crazy. I don't really care. This is Bible stuff that you know nothing of. I'm just telling you what happened. This wind and a fire hit my belly like that, and I begin to cry out in the spirit in other tongues. My wife began to weep. She felt the power of God the other side of the room. The whole room atmosphere changed. And out of my spirit, I began to speak the word of the Lord. And he said, this is like, it's the end. And I, out of my spirit, I heard the Lord say, I mean, it was coming out of my mouth, the end is not yet. The end is not yet. I am sifting my people. I am separating the wheat from the tares. Now, one of the things that always concerned me about the coming of the Lord was that I kept saying to the Lord, Lord, but the people are not ready to go. They're not ready. The church is not ready. Because you hear about the five wise and five foolish virgins, and then you think, is 50% of the church not ready? But I didn't even know if 50% of the church, it was probably, I thought maybe 20% of the church would be ready. I mean, because we deal with the total apathy of people, even ministers in ministry, the apathy, the games that are played, and how this thing is run like a franchise, like a business, like, you know, it's just about some numbers, and I can go on and on and on and on about that. And so the Lord said to me, I'm sifting my people, and I'm separating the wheat from the tares. Then he said, I'm separating the profane from what is holy. And I'm separating the false from what is true, because I will have a purified bride when I come. I shall not have a bride that is weak, that is defeated, that has one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I shall come back for a glorious church, a church without spot or blemish. And as that was coming out of my spirit, I began to weep because I felt how much he loved his people. The Lord told me, he said, I love my church. I love my people. And I do this work because I love my people, because I don't want one of them to be lost. It was probably the most overwhelming experience I've ever had. At a time when I least expected it, when you're sitting there just in your underwear, and God invades your bedroom and shook me to the core. I thought I was going to be shaken out of my bed. And my wife was weeping, and I was weeping. Tim was weeping on the phone. This shall be a time where whatever's not of God will be removed. Only what is of the Spirit will remain. Everything of the flesh shall be burned off in this hour. And God will have a church that will be holy. So the Lord said for me to tell the church, do not fear, for he is with you and he loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you. That's what also overwhelmed me was the love that I felt, that how much he loved his people. And I know there's many, even ministers today, you're watching, how are the ministry gonna survive? God loves you. Forget about your ministry. You don't care about your ministry. Come on. Well, how's the church? The church is God's promise, not your problem. And then I saw the earth. I saw the earth with this thing over it. And right in front of my face, I saw the hand of God come and move it back as a scroll. And the Lord said, I care not who's in the White House, who's in this agency, what nation or what kingdom. I, the Lord God, shall do this work. And I will have a purified bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Lord told me, you're gonna trust him. You're going to walk in faith. And you're going to just say whatever needs to be removed, let it be removed. Whatever needs to be gone. I want nothing to remain. I only want what God wants. What is it? Whatever's of the flesh, let it be removed. Let it be burnt off. Whatever was my plan, my purpose, let it be removed off. Whatever was not born of the Spirit, I don't want any of that, because I'm going to be part of this bride that's purified and ready for the return of the King, because Jesus is coming very, very soon. It might be within the next 3 years, maximum 7 years of the catching away of the church. This is it. We waited all our life. I grew up in old time Pentecost. I waited all my life for this moment. I knew that Jesus was coming. We're living in a very surreal moment. Like you actually think you're in some kind of a sci-fi end of the world movie. That's happening in front of you. But the Lord says, fear not. Fear not. Now, I promise you, all I'm ever going to do is tell you exactly what he told me. As you see, I'm very peaceful today. I'm not here. I'm not trying to hype something up to get you convinced. Hype doesn't last that long. But the word of the Lord will stand. The word of the Lord shall stand. Hallelujah. There's no ways that I could go home and come up with this. Either God still speaks to his people or he doesn't. Amen. But I'm yet to tell you that God still speaks to his people. Amen. Was I looking for a word? No. I was wanting to sleep. Did it shock me? It shocked me to the core. That's why I'm not going to make up some word, you know. The Lord told me this. Lord, if he never told me, I'm just going to carry on preaching the word, you know, do exactly what he said. Unfortunately, our pastor's calling me in nations that are up in turmoil. And I said, look, if you'd listened to me 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, you may be able to prepare your people a little bit better, but you thought I was crazy. And I'm not crazy. Sometimes people think the prophetic has to come a certain way. So because they're looking for the prophetic, they miss the prophetic. How pathetic. The Bible tells us he will show us things to come. What you have more than anything else is you have the Holy Spirit with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. You have the Holy Spirit with you to lead you and guide you. So if you talk to him, he will talk to you. He will speak to you exactly concerning your life. Every situation is different here in this room today. Every person is facing different. There's people sitting here with many questions that if I had time to meet with you, I would spend the next 3 months going through with our appointments, trying to run through and trying to solve the problems. I cannot. I'm just here as your pastor to lead you and show you what the Word of God says and then let you press in. You get on your knees. As I said, stick that stupid television off. Get on your knees. Start praying. Pray with your children. Tell them the gravity of the moment that we find ourselves in. Tell them all the stuff that they were entertained by with Hollywood and all of the stuff, all the consumerism, all the stuff that people want after, the toys and all. Tell them that's not where it is. Life is not in those things. It's not in all of those things. Disney World is done for now. We don't know when it'll be open again. All the parks are closed. Everything is done. It's over. But this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And let the Lord use you with an urgency like you've never had before to take your cell phone and start calling everybody you know and just talk to them on the phone. Say, hey, I'm calling to tell you I love you. I'm gonna pray for you right now. Even if they're sinners, just bowl them over with love. Even if they, well, I don't believe, I don't care. You have no choice. I'm praying for you right now. Yeah, just say, I'm bold. I don't care. Well, I don't really believe. It doesn't matter. You will believe. Can't you see what's happening? Everything's failing round about. If you died right now, where would you spend eternity? Call them. Call them every day. People are committing suicide right now. The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. But you will not be caught up in this fear because you see, you know that this world is not your home and you're just passing through. We are just strangers. We're strangers. We are strangers in a foreign land. I'm waiting to be evacuated, you know. But not because of an emergency, because the world can't hold me anymore. Are you with me? You know what? That's what the Lord said to me. He said, I'm not coming to rescue my church because they're getting beat up and they're sniveling somewhere in the shadows. I'm going to bring out a glorious church, a bride. Ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why we've got to make sure that our garments are clean, that who shall ascend to his holy hill? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You allow the fire of God to come and burn out all the dross, everything. Let the wicked be wicked even more, but let the holy, let them be even more holier. Amen. Let the pure become even more pure. Jesus is coming so soon. And I don't want anyone here to miss out. Let Let me wrap this up with this, and then we're going to pray. You know, people always speculation about the mark of the beast, 666, and all that kind of stuff. But somebody said, well, could it be the vaccine? Well, they actually have vaccines now, and they actually have little chips that they can put in you. They carry all your data, your medical information, which is important. If somebody has a car wreck, they can just come and scan the chip in your hand or your forehead. They found that that's a great place to put them. Has all your data. I mean, we already had facial recognition. When I come into America and I get to the passport thing, they just looks at my face and prints out my name. So facial recognition, we're already there. Now they just got to put a chip in you. And here's the problem now. I want you to think about this. When you are attached to all your worldly goods, when you're attached to everything round about you, and they tell you, you have to make a choice, even with your own children. I can remember in 93, sitting around with my three kids, when we got our first house, Kirsten, Kelly, and Kenneth, and we were sitting in the house, and I said, listen, God's blessed us with this house, but we are not the owner of this house. We are only a steward of the house. And the day comes when it might be taken from us. And I said to them that the day might come when we would be separated from them and they would be told to renounce Jesus and that they would let Daddy and Mommy live. And I said, please do not renounce Jesus. We'll see you on the other side. Somebody said, well, what would I do? Even if they took your child from in front of you, which would be the hardest thing for a parent to do, you'd have to look at them and say, baby, I love you. I'm going to see you on the other side. Because here's the problem. Many will cave for their own children and for their loved ones round about them. They will go ahead and give up their rights and serve the enemy. And you have to come to that place. I've learned that this way even the last number of years. When I say goodbye to somebody, I actually say goodbye to them as though I might never see them again. When I give an altar call, I give an altar call as though the last time I will ever give an altar call and the last time that somebody will ever hear the call. When I preach in meeting, when we have a service, I do it as though we might never have another service. I've done this for months and years. That's why there are no throwaway services here at the river. That's why we just do one service. There's no ways that I can take this and put it into five services. It's impossible. Can't do it. It's not a production. It's not Disney World. Today, after we finish here, we're going to receive communion. That will be the final thing we do. None of this was scripted. I just knew what had to be done and just said, okay, Lord, show me how to fit it all together. The Lord has ordained that every single one of you be here at this hour. You could have lived in the year 1412, 1620, or 1776, but God put you here in 2020 for His purpose and His plan. And this glorious church is a church that has eternity on its mind. Is a church that sees souls more important than anything else. More important than any stuff that you might have. So let this be even a time when you begin to realize all of those things, it's not important. But people are. Love people. Tell them you love them. Talk to them. I found myself now talking to the pastors in the foreign fields. Whenever you do a FaceTime and I look at them and say, hey, if whatever happens, We never see each other again this side. We'll see you. Oh, Dad. We'll dance on the streets of gold. I'll see you on the other side. And I tell them, I love you. Just want you to know how much I love you. And they say, I love you too. And that's basically how it's been the last 3 weeks. Now that Australia shut the church down for 6 months, I'm so happy we ran to 10 cities. I'm so happy we ran to 10 cities. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that the Lord said run to 43 cities of Europe. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we obeyed the Lord. I'm so happy for this church. I'm so happy for this bunch of warriors. End time harvesters. You know, Pastor said to me, we're going online. I said, we've been online since 96. Obviously, that's an added blessing that we could come online. But let me tell you one more thing about us gathering here together. Did you know that the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of yourself together, even the much more when you see that day approaching. We are here by heaven's ordinance, and the Lord is with us, and we shall not fear. Hallelujah. Now tonight, instead of the regular service, is going to be a 3-hour prayer meeting. Everybody's going to pray. He's going to pray. We're going to be praying over this next. I want us to pray over what's remaining in March. And whatever the enemy was planning, we're going to move it out the way tonight. So tonight when you come in, you can spread out. Keep the social distancing. But let's press in and pray. This is troubled times. But the Lord has the answer to every problem. I want you to know how much we love every single one of you. We pray over you. God will be about you as a wall of fire, that no harm and evil will come nigh to you. God will protect you. And you're rising up, you're lying down, you're coming in, you're going out. Please stay connected. All the HOJs and the 2ICs, if you have a need, let us know. We're here for you. That's what the church is. And whatever's left, when we come through the other side, we'll continue it. Whatever's not of God, I don't want anyway. I'm not interested. I felt the Lord tell me from tomorrow night to go live on CTN to speak to the nation. So that's what we're going to be doing. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't imagine what I've just shared, how this is going to be spun the next week. That'll be great. I want everybody to bow your heads right now, please, across this place. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you in your homes, I want to ask a question today. What if today was your last day on the earth? You went home tonight, you put your head on your pillow, you breathed out your last breath. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath their flood. Lose all the guilty stain today. The power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way today. He calls you. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord? Maybe you're in this place or you're watching by way of television. You gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed your garment to become soiled. Pride and unforgiveness and bitterness and jealousy and anger and lust and the hidden things that clog the heart of man. But today you say, I want free. I want out of this. I don't want to miss what God has for me. I don't want to miss the coming of the Lord. But today I want to surrender my life afresh. He said he will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said a new spirit will he put within you. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, come? He loves you so very much. You say, how do you know? Because he told me how much he loved you. He loves you. He loves you. It's about surrender. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone could see. And the enemy uses it against you to keep in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like, how am I ever going to mean anything to God? Look at my life. It looks like a whole mess. Everybody knows about that. But I want you to know God is a God of a second chance and a new beginning. And he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you come? Will you surrender to him today? Maybe you're in this place. You're watching in your homes. You were going along. You were doing great. And then out of the blue, this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. A sudden divorce. A bankruptcy. The loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. And even now, maybe it's all being rocked. But I want you to know how much he loves you. Will you surrender your life to him afresh? And say, Lord, here I am. Will you put everything on the altar again today? Will you consecrate your life afresh? If Jesus came this week, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love God, but you're not sure of your salvation, but today you want to make sure, you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm a child of God. If this is you right now, right where you are, quickly put your hand up, say, pray for me, all across the building. God bless you, 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 God bless you. Hands are going up all across this room. Today is your day, my friend, not tomorrow. There might not be a tomorrow. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. He calls you. He loves you. He says, come. Once you've raised, you can put it down. I want you to look at me now, please. Look at me in this section over here. If you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray. Quickly slip up your hand and say, include me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up. God bless you. Anybody else? Raise up high. Raise up high. This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Under the overhang, just slip it up high and say, include me. Include me today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up now. I want every person with your hand in the air to stand right now, all across the building. Stand. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand. Stand right now. Everyone that raised your hand, stand all across the building. I want to pray with you and for you. I want you to come from where you are and come stand right here. We're going to pray together. Come. Come. He calls you. sitting there where you are, just turn to two or three people and say, hey, if Jesus comes, are you ready to see him now? If they can't say yes, pick him up and carry them down here. Come on, this is important, this is important. This is important, this is why we're here. This is why this church exists. This is why this church exists. This is why there's a place called the River. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. I want everyone standing here right now to look at me, if you would, please. You did not come to man, but you've come to the Lord. I'm just a messenger. I came as a missionary to America because I heard the cry of the people. And today, if you've been busy with God, God means busy with you. And for you, by way of television, you can pray this prayer together with us right now. Just close your eyes, raise your right hand to heaven. Pray this prayer after me. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him right now. From this very moment, Father, I pray that you would seal them now. Can you get him a chair, please? I pray right now that you would seal them by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day, not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them in this final moment to bring all their friends, all their family, all their loved ones shall come into the kingdom. Not one of their family will be lost. Let the fire of God come upon every person, even now, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.